All right, good morning. If you want to open your Bibles to Mark chapter 1, we'll be in verses 40 through 45 this morning. I'll introduce myself again. I was here maybe 3 or 4 months ago preaching out of Mark's Gospel. I've been in Mark's Gospel for about 2 years teaching it verse by verse at an assisted living center. So we're going very slowly, but I'm going to take you guys back to one of the passages that's one of my favorites in Mark's Gospel. But my name is Cameron Gray. My wife is Anique. We'll be married for, Lord willing, if we tarry and the Lord tarries, 9 years this summer. We have 2 children, Crew, he's 4, and then Junie, she's 2.5. So that's our family. We're members at Memorial Baptist Church on the north side of Newcastle. And Bruce is becoming one of my good friends, meeting with him on Saturday mornings, and he's been a good help to me in my ministry. So you guys are in Mark 1, but as you're there, by way of introduction, just understanding this gospel, we know Jesus, of course, is a great teacher. We know he's also a great miracle worker. Well, I was speaking to one of my unbelieving friends, this has been a few weeks ago, and we were discussing the person and work of Jesus Christ. And she was really wrestling with the idea of not just Jesus' teachings, but primarily his miracles. How's he performing such miracles? How did he walk on water? Now, she goes to IU. She's being indoctrinated with some of the liberal ideas. How did he walk on water? It makes no sense to me. How did he bring back Lazarus from the dead? He was dead for 4 days. How did he heal the blind? You know, we have glasses today, but he just went and spoke and the guy could see. So she was implying, I can get the teachings, but the miracles, that's not going to fly for me. Well, the passage we're going to be reading today is one of Jesus' more notable miracles. And trust me, this miracle would have shocked any first century here, just as it would have shocked us today, all these other miracles. The first century would not believe the miracle that Christ did in this passage. It's the healing of a man with leprosy. And so I'm titling this message today, Healing the Walking Dead. We'll be in Mark 1, 40 through 45. Please read that with me. Mark 1, beginning in verse 40. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. That's the reading of God's Word. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for your Word. I do pray as it's preached today, it would be taught faithfully, and that your Spirit would speak through the reading of your Word. We know you're ruling today through your church in your Word. We thank you for that. I pray you'd bless your people. In Christ's name, amen. So the setting of Mark's Gospel, this miracle is taking place in Galilee. This was the northern part of Jerusalem. It's where Jesus' home base was. He spent most of his time in Capernaum, right off the Sea of Galilee. And up to this point, I know we're one chapter into Mark, but Mark is intentionally showing in the first half of his Gospel the power of Jesus Christ. That's the first half of Mark. It's all about the power of Christ. Before you get to a turn in Mark chapter 8, then you see the suffering servant. The power and the suffering. We're in the power part here in Mark's Gospel. And he's showing that Jesus is the Son of God. He's the Christ. And so if you look at Mark 1:1, just see how the beginning of the Gospel starts here. Mark 1:1 says, the beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And so as Mark is introducing his Gospel here, he's showing a couple things. One is, Gospel, we know, means good news. By definition, Gospel is good news. And Jesus here is the good news. Might have mentioned this last time. But that term gospel was exclusively a term that was used for Caesar. Everything Caesar said was gospel. It was good news. And so as Mark is writing this gospel to a Roman culture, and he says that Jesus is good news, this was immediately confronting the culture of the day. But friends, Jesus Christ is the good news, and I pray all of you have tasted that Christ is the good news of His life and His death and His resurrection. And so as we move through Mark chapter 1, we see Him preaching about the kingdom in verse 15. He immediately casts out a demon. He performs many miracles, leading up to the miracle in Mark chapter 1, verse 40 about the man with leprosy. And so as we read the passage, I want you to see two things in it. There's two people in our passage. There's a man with leprosy, and then there's the figure in which all the Scriptures point, the Lord Jesus Christ. But first, look with me at verse 40, the man with leprosy. Verse 40 says, "And there came a leper to him." Leprosy, of course, we know was a severe skin condition. But more than just skin deep, we often think it was on the skin. Friends, it went much deeper than that. What leprosy would do is it would create these tumor-like swellings that would turn into these nasty open sores that would then pop and pus would come on the skin. Essentially, it was rotting flesh. So these filthy sores, it would accumulate dirt. They're living in a culture where they're walking around in sandals. Dirt would come onto the skin and eventually would go down into deterioration of the bones. And there was no cure. That was the thing. There was no cure for leprosy. Eventually what would happen is the body would completely wither away. The man would be prone to infection, and that infected person would die a horrible death. That was what would happen to somebody with leprosy. And that's why I'm calling this passage Healing the Walking Dead. That's not an over-exaggeration. This man was going to die. The rabbis in Jesus' day, they said this, that for a man to be healed from leprosy, that was akin to raising the dead. This guy's a walking time bomb. He's about to pass. And I would attest to you today, friends, that in this church, if a man walked into this church right now and opened the door, we would smell him immediately. He would smell like a rotting carcass on Highway 36 when it's 95 degrees out in the summer. Just smell like a rotting carcass. Leviticus and the Old Testament regulations, we think about the ceremonial law. Old Testament law said that a leper was to be placed outside the camp. They were unclean. Leviticus 13:46 says this, "And he, the leper, shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease." He's unclean. "He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp." The leper, the way they would look outside of just being stinky and rotty and nasty stuff coming off of them, they would have to wear torn clothes. As if you wouldn't, if you were downstream of the wind, you wouldn't already smell them. You would see that they were a leper because of the clothes they would wear. They'd be torn. And their head would be uncovered, and they were required to cover their upper lip as they walked around like this. Unclean! Unclean! So as to not spit and cause others to get the disease. Jewish tradition forbid anybody to come even within 6 feet of a man with leprosy. And to touch a leper was to touch a corpse. So needless to say, the man was an outcast. But look what we see in verse 40, the second half of verse 40. He comes to Christ. He's beseeching Him or imploring Him and kneels down to Jesus. So first note this. The leper who's supposed to be outside, he comes to Christ. He comes to Him. They weren't to approach. They were to keep their distance. But yet we see the leper moving towards Christ. Perhaps he'd heard of Jesus' miracles up to this point, as He's performing all these miracles in the region of Galilee. But not only does He come, I want you to notice how He comes here in verse 40. First off, He comes in desperation. You see that? He comes in with a desperate posture. He comes beseeching or imploring. Or I like how the NIV says He comes begging. He's begging Jesus. This is desperation. Complete humiliation. He needs something to be done here. And He also comes not just in desperation, but in reverence. Because as He approaches Christ, He bows or He kneels down to Him. It's a posture of humility, not of arrogance. It's reverence. This leper, friends, he knows he's unworthy to be before the great healer, Jesus Christ. He can't be near Him. And then third, not just desperation and reverence, but he comes with a plea, a verbal plea. He says, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." This is prayer, essentially what he's doing. He's coming before Christ. He's approaching the throne of grace in desperation. This is a model of prayer. This is how we plead. I would ask you, have you ever come to Christ in this way? Have you pursued Him in such a way before your face where you're asking Him, "If you don't intercede, I'm going to die. I need something. You need to come here. You need to hear me." This is desperation. He understands the power of God. He's desperate to see the living God do a work in his life. And what does this plea consist of? Look at his words here. The ESV translation says, "If you will, you can make me clean. If you will, you can make me clean." I want you to notice here, he doesn't come with a name it and claim it mentality. He doesn't come claiming a healing like we see many of these charlatans on TV do. Let me give you an example of one of those. Joel Osteen, in his book, Your Best Life Now, listen to this quote. This is straight from his book. He says this, "God has already done everything He's going to do. The ball is now in your court. If you want success, if you want wisdom, if you want to be prosperous and healthy, you're going to have to do more than meditate and believe. You must boldly declare words of faith and victory over yourself and your family." What arrogance is that, friends? That is a man-centered doctrine. To declare prosperity and healing over yourself as a means of victory for your own life. As if the Lord Jesus Christ is some genie. As if you can wish upon yourself what you want. I would attest to you, friends, there is absolutely no place in Scripture that tells you to put your faith in the words in which you proclaim. Your faith is always in the object, who is Jesus Christ. So this man doesn't come claiming healing. Instead, he comes desperately asking God, "Do a sovereign work in my life. You can do it, Lord. I know You can, but will You? Can You make me clean?" That's the leper. That's the first character. And then let's look at the Lord Jesus Christ, who's the balance of our text. And friends, He's the one in which the entire Scriptures point. Look at verse 41. "And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth His hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will. Be thou clean." So we see here He has pity on the man. He has compassion on the man. Jesus, like the great shepherd, He sees this man as a sheep without a shepherd. And He comes in mercy towards him. Not because the man deserved anything. The man doesn't deserve it. But He does it because God is gracious. He has pity on him. This is the nature of our Lord. He's a merciful and He's a kind Lord and Savior. And in His pity and showing pity to this man, look what He does. This is incredible. He puts forth His hand and He touches him and heals the man. He touches the leper. Leviticus chapter 5 forbids anybody to touch a leper. It was extremely contagious. And not only that, but remember, lepers, you're outside the camp. You don't come into fellowship here. You are outside the camp. You're an outsider, an outcast. You're treated as nearly subhuman. Now, Jesus could have here with just His words. He could have just healed the man, just spoken it, and it happened. But right before this in Mark's Gospel, Jesus speaks and He casts out a demon. He didn't have to touch the man. Could have done the same thing here. But instead, He touches him. John Calvin says this, "Christ could have with just His words, but to show compassion, He touches the man." So we think about this God who created everything. Through what? And God said, "Let there be light." He could have, with just a speaking, healed the leper. But to show compassion, He stoops down and touches the man. One commentator says this, and this is incredible. "Christ stoops down in His purity to touch the ugliness and stench of the man to bring about His healing." Think of the incarnation of Christ coming to us. Friends, the Lord loves not just in His words, but also in His deeds. And he does speak here after he touches. He speaks and says, I will be clean. And that's the shadow of Genesis 1:3. And God said, let there be light. He speaks and it happens. And what's the result? Verse 42. As soon as he had spoken, the words of life come forth here. Immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was clean. We've read so many miracles growing up in church that we read that and just say, that's cool. That's incredible. This guy was on a death sentence. Jesus speaks and he's healed. Notice it's at the immediate voice of Christ the man is healed. He doesn't have to continue to take his medicine until it's better, his antibiotics bottle until it's completely healed. He doesn't have to wait for the test results to come back. At the voice of Christ, the man is completely healed. Through the Word of God and the touch of Christ, this living, walking, dead man, he's brought to perfect health instantaneously. And so as a result of his healing, verses 43 through 45, we see that Jesus sends the man away to the priest. I'll read 43 and 44. And so he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way. Show thyself to the priest and offer thy cleansing, for thy cleansing, those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. So the custom was, you were to show yourself to the priest so that you were to be clean. He was to deem you as healed, and he was the one to deem you as, you can now come back into the community. And so Jesus here does that. According to Leviticus 14:8, just to give you the exact law here, after being deemed clean by the priest, he who is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes and shave off all of his hair and bathe himself in water, and he shall be clean. And after that he may come into the camp, but live outside his tent for 7 days. And so, notice, we know Jesus Christ was under the law and never broke the law. And so Jesus doesn't usurp the authority of the Jews and the priesthood, but instead he sends the man away. As he's supposed to do, go to the priest. But I want you to catch something here, friends, that a great application in this passage. Proof of this man's healing never came about from obedience to the Mosaic law. You see that? He wasn't healed through law here by being sent away. He was healed by divine grace. Not healed by law, but healed by divine grace. The man who'd been touched by grace, he then, what does he do? Verse 45. He goes into the community. He begins to publish it much. He's speaking to everybody about the amazing power of Christ. Jesus said not to do that, but he goes and speaks. Now, have you ever noticed this? Oftentimes, those that have recently tasted and have seen that the Lord is good, they've been touched by the mercy of Christ, they want to go tell people. They're zealous. They want to speak of his fame. I would say the most zealous Christians are those who are newly converted. I would ask you, when's the last time you shared the gospel with somebody? Do you have the zeal of the leper? The one who wants to go and share the good news of Christ to others? Friends, I will tell you, when you're touched by amazing grace, you can't help but tell the world. I pray that we'd be as zealous as this leper is. Now, friends, that's the explanation of the passage, but I want to take away three things from this that we can apply to our lives. Pull it from this first century context and bring it into the 21st. The first thing, and it's very clear, we see Christ is our healer. Christ is our healer. Mark's story of this healing, it shows us something very important about the person of Christ. And there's two things here I want to look at. First is the culture that'd be hearing this. They'd be thinking of, there was an Old Testament prophet who performed a similar miracle. The same miracle. A man that was healed from leprosy in the Old Testament. His name was Naaman. And that prophet was Elisha in the book of 2 Kings. As Naaman came to him, he was a commander in one of the pagan armies. He comes to Elisha for healing. Elisha sends him away to the Jordan River. And he washes in the river 7 times. And on the 7th time, Naaman comes out and he's healed. Well, in that story, he goes to a prophet of God who sends him to the source of healing. But what happens in our passage? The man goes straight to the source of healing, who is very God himself, Jesus Christ. And he heals him from leprosy. Any first century hearer of this gospel would have to come to the conclusion, Christ is this is the Messiah. Jesus is the Christ. He must be God because only God can perform such a miracle. But second, not only that would they be thinking about Old Testament, but also see this. Christ is the healer, and He's the one who's renewing His creation. So we know in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. He created it. The Father created it through His Son as the Spirit hovered over the waters. Genesis 1 and 2, you see the entire Trinity there. And so now we see Jesus here. He's bringing healing and restoration to that same creation through His words. So I want you to think of this. Anytime you're reading the Gospels and you come upon a miracle, these aren't just here so that you can, yes, affirm who Christ is. You should do that. And think, wow, that was really neat. What a display of power. But friends, these miracles are here because what's happening is Jesus is pulling back the veil and you can see what the new heavens and new earth looks like. Jesus Christ is the beginning of the new creation. And when He comes, He's recreating things. He's giving us a taste of heaven. As it says in Revelation 21, where wipe away every tear from their eyes, death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. So as I said, Jesus' miracles are giving us a taste of heaven, a glimpse of new heavens and new earth, recreation from the Creator as He's displaying His work in the kingdom of God. So that's one, Christ is healer, very evident. But then number two, everybody likes to read a passage and find themselves in the passage. Well, we're here. We're the leper. You're the leper in the passage. Or you were the man with leprosy. This physical miracle has great spiritual parallels and application to us today. First, understand this. All of us, if you're outside of Jesus Christ, or if you were at a time, you have a similar condition to the man with leprosy. Yet it's deeper than just the skin. It's deeper than even deteriorating all the way to the bones. You are a sinner. Sin is at your very core. And as the Scripture says, you were once a walking dead man. Ephesians 2:1 says, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Every unbeliever you'll encounter today as you exit these doors, they're the walking dead. Now friends, they're going to cover up their deadness extremely well through their nice homes, their good works, the nice clothes they wear, their fashionable social media pages. But friends, they're dead in their sins. They are dead in their sins. They're like a man with leprosy who's putting on fine clothes to cover up the fact that underneath him, he is rotting. Underneath those clothes, he's rotting. Isaiah says that even those righteous deeds we're trying to apply, they're like filthy rags. Even the finest clothes we want to cover up, it will not cover up the stench of a leprous man or a man who's dead in his sins. So that stench of our sin and the sin of any unbeliever is not just skin deep, but as I mentioned, it's to the core. It's affected your emotions. It's affected your actions, your thoughts. It's what we call in Calvinistic circles total depravity. Every ounce of you has been touched by sin. The noaic effect. Your entire mind is gone because of sin. It's reached to your core. And like the leper, friends, the only hope you have is to be touched by Christ. That's it. He's the only one that can heal you from your sinful and your dead state. God alone must be the one to do it. And it must be according to His grace and His mercy. We must be healed from our spiritual leprosy. And just as this leper comes to Jesus in complete desperation, this is a vivid picture of any sinner who comes to Christ. They come without anything in their hands. They come falling before the Lord and asking to be saved for sovereign grace to come upon them. Have mercy on me, Lord. I would ask you, have you come to Christ in that same way? Empty-handed, knowing He alone can do the work. Are you declared clean? And are you fit for fellowship? Or are you at enmity with God? The only way for fellowship is through the Son, Jesus Christ. So we see here the healer of Christ. We see the leprosy of sinful beings. And then lastly, we passed over this quickly, but I want you to catch this. Jesus is our priest. And he plays a priestly work in this passage. As we saw earlier in verse 44, Jesus tells the man, he says, go to the priest and you'll be declared clean. Because, as mentioned, only going to the priest can you be declared ceremonially clean. You can be brought back into the community with the rest of God's people. And so Jesus follows this protocol, a man under the law. But he does something before this. He tells the man, I will be clean. He declares the man clean. How interesting is that? He does something that only a priest can do. Friends, this isn't irony as Mark is writing this and as Jesus is making this statement. Jesus indeed is the high priest. He's the one today who's still declaring people to be clean. And he does this through the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit, through the effectual work of the cross and of the resurrection. He's still declaring people clean. If you're a believer today, the high priest has declared you clean. Now, friends, let's be reminded of, remember the leper, he used to be where? Outside the camp. Let's think of this. Where did Christ die? Christ died on Calvary. Calvary was placed outside the walls of Jerusalem. Jesus died as an outcast. He died as one who was unclean. He died as the one who was outside the community. He died as the one who was under the curse. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it's written, cursed is everyone who's hanged on a tree. Christ became, in a sense, the man of leprosy who's put outside the camp as our perfect substitute. And yet in His victorious resurrection, what He does is He declares all those to be clean, all those who have trusted in Him. And we're now able to approach the Father because of the work of Christ. And friends, here's the encouraging thing for us as well as believers. Jesus still today intercedes for us as that high priestly figure. He's sitting today at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. As Pastor Bruce is going through Hebrews, Hebrews 7, 23 and 25. The former priests, they were many in number, because they were prevented by death from continuing in office, but He holds His priesthood permanently, because He continues forever. And consequently, He is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them. Christ is the priest in our passage. So friends, this is more than just a healing miracle. This is a declaration that Jesus is God, He's the priest, and He's our great and He's our merciful healer. Now, friends, will you close with me in a word of prayer? Father, thank You for the work of Your Son. I thank You for my friends here. I thank You for all the elect that You've called to Yourself by through Your Spirit and the work of Christ. I thank You that You're keeping us in the work of Your Son. I thank You that You've promised an inheritance for us. Lord, I pray this word will dwell richly in our hearts as we walk out of here. We carry it through the remainder of the week. That we would bless others with it. We'd be a light. We'd be a fragrance. Our conversations would be seasoned with salt. And that all that we do would be for Your glory. Thank You so much for Your work and Your love. In Christ's name we pray all these things. Amen.